Oh! Oh, hello.
All right, let's do this one last time.
Warning. Marvin and R&D contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended.
As I told you a long time ago.
Go fuck yourself.
I got invitations right here. Enough for everybody.
Are you ready?
I was born ready, motherfucker.
You Spider-Man, given a job to do.
I played the long game, Mr. Castle.
That's my secret, Cat.
On the roof!
So many snacks, so little time. We're in the endgame now.
He looks like an asshole.
He's a criminal, that's who he is.
I am.
Well, that's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
Bullseye.
What is up, everybody? It is time once again for Marvel on RMD, and this week we'll be covering the finale of The Falcon and Winter Soldier. I am your host, the one and only Bobby D, and with me in the studio is Ryan.
Yo!
And David.
How's it going, everybody?
All right, so we will be getting into, again, the finale, the sixth and final episode of this. And normally we start off with some kind of crazy outlandish news or theory or anything else, but guess what, there isn't one this week,
thank God.
So we're gonna start off with news that came out almost immediately after the episode aired. Captain America 4 is in the works with Falcon and Winter Soldier showrunner Malcolm Spellman. So the man who ran these six episodes that I think we all believe are highly, highly successful episodes.
Absolutely.
Yep, absolutely.
No matter whatever the fuck the internet thinks.
Yeah, fuck the internet, dude.
Unless you listen to us.
Yeah, then we love you.
Then we love you. But I trust this man after this. Because
you
might say, oh, well, it's television versus movies. But the fact is that this man, what he did with $25 million an episode over six episodes, you could see that happening in a movie type scenario.
I mean, over six episodes,
six
episodes, he basically did used a movie budget to
That's half a movie budget for Marvel.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
At this point, it seems like, well, it's a $1 billion budget. It's like, how do you get $1 billion?
Well, on top of that, also,
they keep making Avengers movies.
Look what he was able to do with two characters that not a lot of fanfare for these guys in the very beginning. And let's take it even further back in the original phases, there was no fanfare for Falcon and Winter Soldier. Now, when you look at it, I guarantee you there's a lot of people who would love to see Sam Wilson in his own movie now.
Hi, I'm right here. Yes, I would love to see
you're
that.
Not the only one. Yeah.
When Bobby sent me that article, the first thing I sent him was like, well, Anthony Mackie deserves it.
Yes.
Well, yes. And that wasn't announced. But the fact is that the head writer and creator, again, of The Falcon and Winter Soldier is developing the fourth installment of the Captain America film franchise for Marvel Studios. Spellman will co-write the script with Dylan Muson, a staff writer for Falcon and Winter Soldier. No castings for the project are officially known, but Friday's episode offers plenty of roads for the feature to take up.
Oh, yeah.
Up until this point, Chris Evans has played Captain America via the Steve Rogers character, appearing in the other movies and Avengers. But the question of who will carry the shield into the future was central to the show. The feature will likely to continue the story of Sam Wilson, played by Anthony Mackie, who's currently wielding the shield. But as writers get to work, it'll be interesting to see how the story unfolds with there being multiple people involved as Captain America's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I think this will be awesome. After this episode, you've got a few, like you said, Bobby, a few different characters that could will appear.
Will appear in the movie. Yeah.
I also feel like if it's a movie, Chris Evans as old Cap has to show up, right?
here's the thing. After this episode, I don't think he's needed now because of how strong Anthony Mackie's Sam came out in this episode.
I agree, but I also feel like there has to be some kind of validation.
Some kind of closure.
Some kind of closure with Rogers, with Steve. Well,
I do agree with that to some degree, especially when they basically say, oh, he's up in space on the moon.
Yeah, they keep making that joke.
And they kept making the joke, and I'm like, going, well, is he really up in the space?
Is he really in the moon? What's going on here? Is he really on the moon? I think after this episode, which obviously, you know, I know we'll jump into here soon, but he deserves it. And I think it would be an absolute awesome movie. And I mean, I'll tell you right now, I'll be the first one in that fucking theater to watch that. I feel like as much as we've watched Anthony Mackie, like, come to his own with his character, with Sam Wilson, this episode was this whole entire series, actually, let's just say the whole series, this whole series, if this hasn't proven that Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan can't keep your interest for a 2.5 hour movie, then I don't know what the fuck show you were watching, because these two dudes absolutely could do it.
Now, look, just giving Malcolm Spellman the seal of approval from Marvel and Disney is a must.
Yes.
Because if they would have said, like, thank you for doing what you did for the show, Russo brothers, continue to do with you what you've been doing. What that ends up making is for me, and this is just my opinion, the potential for stale stories.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it's nice to have those guys been in charge for a while, but like sometimes you need new blood and, you know, eyes on a script or a storyline with characters, especially when it's not their characters. It's Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan are now Spellman's people. You know, when he's worked with them, they developed this whole thing around them, you know, and their characters. I believe that it's there now. The weird thing is that this hasn't been, as a show, taken so open arms like WandaVision was.
No. Yeah.
That, you know, we covered it a little bit last week, but, you know, there was that tune out timestamp that I was starting to explain at the end of the show that has been leaked out about when people are turning off the show. And during certain episodes, when they did hit the racially motivated, or not motivated, but the kind of that kind of storyline,
mm-hmm.
People were turning off in mass amounts. Now, and I think that's a lot of the criticism that we got from even this week's show was the dealing with a black man in America type scenario. Now, I always wonder, you know, again, this is early development for this.
Right.
You know, and who knows if that continues to be a storyline for how this show is perceived or even received by critics and fans out there, that it is too close to home, as we've called it.
Yeah.
And that's why people don't like it. Are people going to want that from their movies? Because guess what? This isn't the jokey shawarma fucking Avengers.
Yeah, it's not.
And I think, you know, we can get into this episode here. Let me give the right people the credit, and then we'll just continue this conversation on Kari Skoglan, Malcolm Spellman, Joseph Sawyer, writers, directors. We'll continue to move on to the show now. We see in this week's episode that, you know, Anthony Mackie gave probably one of the most passionate, almost real life speeches that mm-hmm. I've ever seen in in a television show, to where it's moving. It gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
and it felt real. It felt like this man was talking from his heart.
Well, it felt like he was literally talking to everyone that was watching the fucking show.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like him talking to the senators and the people on the TV cameras. He was fucking reaching through the TV and grabbing every single person that was watching the show and saying, hey, look, this is what's going on, and this is what we need to be better at. And it wasn't a, you know,
finger pointing.
It wasn't a finger pointing thing. It wasn't a, you know, there was, it was just pointed at the right, like, to kind of wake you the fuck up.
Okay. So this speech honestly remind me of, did you guys watch Newsroom with Jeff Daniels?
Yes.
Yes.
Where, you know, America is not the greatest country in the world anymore, that they're this much rank and this and this and this. It was that kind of speech to where if you were to play that and he was in street clothes just talking, like, you wouldn't know that it is a superhero film. Just like this Jeff Daniels thing, people thought this was some kind of real thing that he was doing at some Harvard thing, not realizing it was from a fucking television show on HBO.
Yeah.
You know, and that thing's been replayed over and over again. That was the type of speech to me that he gave in this, that it reaches out. And like Ryan said, it reaches through the Marvel Cinematic Universe into the real world and into the people. And again, maybe that's why people don't like it, because they didn't like the fact that it felt too fucking real.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very, you know, to bring it to a smaller scale, kind of like as an example, is like initially when the comic came out, right, where Sam Wilson donned now that iconic outfit for the first time in the comics. I remember that there was kind of like this little uproar of Sam becoming Captain America.
There was, I remember.
They didn't want to, no one wanted to actually come out and say anything about it, because if you did, obviously that's not, it's kind of like that moment where you go, oh, wow, that's not the right thing to say, or that's not the right thing to think, but you don't want to come out and say it. So I really appreciated that moment when Anthony Mackie did that speech, especially dressed in the Captain America outfit. It didn't just touch on like the fans of the show. To me, it's like reaching out to the fans of the comics. Yep. And just solidifying the fact that basically, hey, a couple of years ago, Sam Wilson took up this mantle. And yes, there was probably 50% of people out there, of fans, that did not accept it. Why? They may not want to say it, because he was a black man.
I think for me, it's never like when someone else takes over the name of a character, an iconic character. For me, it has nothing to do with the way they look or their skin. Like, it was always, for me, it was, I grew up with this particular character playing this particular superhero. So like, for me, it took a lot for me to really get down with Miles Morales as Spider-Man, because I always grew up with Peter Parker.
Same here.
So,
but Miles Morales is pretty fucking badass
and,
now.
Yeah, and again, after the run of the comic had gone through and now the movie, I'm like, God damn, he's fucking sick. It's the same thing with Sam, as not because I of race or anything like that. I fucking love Anthony Mackie. Like, it's because you grow up with this,
it's
one.
It's what you're comfortable with.
Yes. It's what you're comfortable with.
And it does. And like, you're right, it has nothing to do with race. It has to do with what you've known, what you've grown up with, what you've loved. It's no different than when if you want to use sports in the thing, when they turn over franchises to different people. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, my dad, oh, he's not fucking Mickey Mantle. He's not this. And then I'm like, oh, he's not Derek Jeter. He's not fucking Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
And then the next person's going to go, he's not Aaron Judge. He's not fucking, you know. And that's how it goes. That's a little
it's
bit
a
different.
It's a constant rotation. And it's like, it's, for example, a great example is Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, whoever, that's going to be the big one.
It's like, dude, Black Panther, he made Black Panther fucking awesome. And it's like, now we either have to replace the dude or not at all.
Or not at all.
And like, for me, he's fucking Black Panther. No one will ever be that character. Like, even if they recast or whatever they do, he is Black Panther.
Well, yes. And we've dealt with this in comic books in general. Heath Ledger, there's never going to be another Joker.
No.
You know, and then the Joker comes out and you're like, oh, well, who the fuck's going to be this now?
You know, it's a constant rotation. And I think that, like, but, for me, you know, first of all, seeing Sam in the suit, The suit's fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It is by far the best thing they could have pulled straight from the comic book. Like,
that headpiece has got to be a bitch to get on.
Oh, I bet that sucks to wear.
I mean, that looks
cool as shit.
That's the Batman I can't turn my head fucking cow.
Yeah.
It's
got to suck. It's got to suck. Like, but the costume just, it literally looks like they ripped it out of fucking the comic books.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. So,
but this is the fact is what we're going to deal with Sam going forward as Captain America is no different than what we're going to deal with and why Disney does not want to push the X-Men out right now is because whoever you cast, I mean, Ryan, you're going to have to remind me his name.
Which one?
Kingsman. The kid from the Kingsman.
Oh, Edgerton?
Yes. He's been rumored that they want to cast him as the next Wolverine.
Yes.
But the
kid's a great actor. I mean,
exactly. But he's not fucking Hugh Jackman.
He's not Hugh Jackman. Yeah.
So you got to get the Hugh Jackman come out of your mouth, spritz it out, and wait until you start sucking off the next Wolverine. And whatever you do, it's just like, yeah, this dick don't taste as good as the one I had previously.
The funny thing is like Taron Egerton, that's his name. There's an image right here. So I Googled him and like the first image popped up. He's got like a beard.
He's got the beard in there.
And it's like, okay. I here's the thing. Here's how you stomach. If anyone's a Wolverine fan, I think we all know it's me. So if you're going to recast, okay. And you're going to get away from the shadow of Hugh Jackman. Cause that's a big motherfucking shadow, right? Like how many movies was he in?
Yeah. Since the fucking 90s at this point.
All you do is you give us exactly what we want. You give us fucking comic book fucking Wolverine.
Yeah.
And you give and you make him look correct. And he's short. He's not a big dude.
No.
He's perfect.
But I'm just
saying, I know what you're saying. You got to kind of separate yourself away.
Yes. And I think that's the problem that they're going to have with this is
with
that
this.
Chris Evans just gave up the shield, you know, 2 years ago.
Yep.
And now we're dealing with another Captain America and people aren't going probably maybe this wasn't the big hit that WandaVision was. You know, this wasn't the like it's viewed by 95 million people every fucking week type television show. You know, it was popular, but not everybody has seen this character growth. So, when it goes forward, it's going to be one of those things. It'll be interesting to see how it goes, even though we watched 6 weeks of him earning that Stars and Stripes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
By far. And he's by far the like him and Sebastian Stan, Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan were the absolute stars of this. They weren't overpowered by anybody as much as you might want to say fucking Zemo in some things.
Yeah.
But the fact was their characters and their impact to this story it is something that you can't forget going forward. And that's why I think the movies are going to work. Now, you know, this episode, I was wondering how it was going to work out. Because, you know, we have the Flag Smashers going to New York. They're trying to do this vote thing. We know they're there. We know, U.S. agents out there doing his shit. There's a bunch of moving parts that came together.
Yep.
Yes.
Now, the feeling, like you said, seeing Sam with the wings and the shield and that costume. Thank you, Hasbro, for fucking that for me.
I'm so glad I didn't look it
somehow
up.
Somehow ruining it because all I was doing was doing show research. Not like I was let me see a leak for the fucking thing. I typed in the Falcon and that something else, and it was the first fucking image that popped up.
Yeah, that's rough.
Thank you, Hasbro, for fucking me out of that pleasure of watching him fly in with that suit.
I loved, so I do have to say, when the episode started and he's flying around and they didn't give you the view of the suit, they just kind of gave you the long shots of him flying and you're like, you know, he's in it. Like the whole time you're like, oh yeah, I know he's in this suit.
Yeah.
And when he flies through the window and he fucking lands and you see the suit for the first time, I got goosebumps. And then when the guy goes, aren't you Falcon? And he goes, no, I'm Captain America. And I'm like, yes, dude, I was so psyched by that. Like,
and I think you need those moments. It's like,
oh, absolutely.
That's
yeah.
the I am fucking Iron Man moment.
Yes.
You know,
for him. Yes.
Where for him. And those are necessary.
You have to do it.
Who are you? I am Batman. Fuck yeah, you are. You're Falcon. Nah, bitch, I'm Captain America.
That was the awesome parts, too. It wasn't just him. I enjoyed the little scenes where all of a sudden, hey, isn't that Falcon? No, man, that's Captain America.
Yeah,
it was, and I'm like, oh, you're damn right.
It's cool. It's cheese, but it's necessary, cheese. And like, I'm okay with necessary cheese. Sometimes you get cheese and you're like, no, dude, that's cringy. But this was necessary cheese, and it was good cheese. Like, sometimes you get a nice, good loaf of like Swiss or, you know, provolone, and you're like, this is good cheese.
Is that a loaf?
I don't know what it's called.
It's a block of cheese.
Is it a block?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Why did I say loaf?
I don't know. Because you want bread to go with that cheese. That's
probably pretty accurate. But I just think that scene was – I got goosebumps, dude, and it was so happy. You cannot tell me, okay, if Anthony Mackie were in here with us right now, okay, you can't tell me he probably was so giddy getting that suit for the first time, like suiting up in it and like putting that on. I bet he was so giddy, because I know I would be. I'm like, you know, I got my own. I'm not wearing Chris Evans' Captain America suit.
I don't want his stank.
Some people might. I'm wearing my own Captain America suit. Even the same thing with John
with US Agent.
Yeah, with Russell.
When he showed up at the very end, that was cool.
Like he's got to be like, you know, I got to wear Captain America's suit too. Like, it would be such a cool thing. And I think that shot was so iconic of him standing there with the shield. Like, no, I'm Captain America. And it's like, God damn it. Yes, you are, dude. Fuck yeah. And I think you're right, Bob. This whole series was literally those two characters, Winter Soldier and now Captain America, earning their spot.
Earning the respect.
Yes.
Yes. What I was honestly surprised about in this finale was that I really wasn't sure what U.S. Agent was going to do.
Yeah,
that was actually the one part of the whole episode that I was really enjoying, because I was like going, it always had me on the edge of the seat where it was like, now I can picture John making this decision because he's a little far gone at this point, especially in that scene when he finally confronts Carly, and she refers to Lamar, and then you see the look on John's face when he says, so you mean to tell me that Lamar meant nothing?
Yeah,
then he just cocks his head a little bit, and it's almost like, okay, he's starting to lose his mind, and had you guessing, like, is he going to choose the wrong thing at this point?
Best part was when he snaps himself out of it. And that was the best part about it, because you think, okay, this guy's went off the deep end, right? Yes. But then you watch him snap himself out of it and be like, yo, I can't do this. I have to save these people. And so that's what makes that character so complex. And we talked about it last episode too. It's such a complex character because you watch him snap himself out of it and make the right decision, which means he's not a bad person.
Yes.
Yes. And we said that last week.
Yeah.
There are some of the reports, and again, and we'll get into this a little bit, but some of the critics and everything are just like, the Flag Smashers were the worst villains ever. It's like, the Flag Smashers weren't the villains.
Yeah.
U.S. Agent wasn't a villain.
No.
You know, there was a villain, and we'll get into that in a minute. But the fact is, it was just people with good intentions making bad decisions or being influenced by other things to make them make bad decisions.
Bad decisions.
Well, what we had here with U.S. Agent and his character, and, you know, I posted a meme on our Facebook page, I believe, that is just like, when you've gotten to this level of hatred, you know, and it shows, like, you know, all the characters like King Joffrey and all this, that's how you know you're a good motherfucking actor.
Yep.
And Wyatt Russell was that. But they went from this thing of like, he's an asshole, to he's fucking crazy, to redemption magically in three episodes.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
And you got to give it up to the writers and Spellman as a showrunner to be able to pull that off and make me buy that bullshit.
Yep.
Because a lot of times you cannot accomplish that, especially when they're not the main characters here. He got maybe, what, 15 minutes of airtime in those four episodes?
Yeah. It's not even, Bob, it's not even buying it. It's fucking, they shoved it straight down our throat and we accepted it like it was fucking gospel. Because at the end of the day, you took a character that, like you said, the entire arc was basically three episodes.
Yes.
You fucking hate him. He's a psychopath. To holy shit, this guy is just a flawed human being. And yeah, he's, you know, and that's it. Like, that, and to be completely honest, it opened a lot of people's eyes about the whole veteran community anyways. Because exactly, how many guys that are fucking heroes like him have that same fucking mentality? Like, it's crazy. And I think for him to have such a great arc, and I know for a fact we're going to get more of him.
I hope so, yeah.
I hope so because, well, like,
at this point, we got it. West Coast Avengers has to be on their plan somewhere, whether they admit it or not. You're developing too many characters that are from it. That could be in it. Like, Jeremy Renner just fucking finished with Hawkeye.
Yes, he did.
And so we know Kate Bishop's going to be coming around.
Yep.
Like, we know as fans that these characters are... One thing we'll give Marvel, there is no throwaway characters.
No, everything...
Whether you were a fucking alien in some movie that nobody paid attention to, and then you end up being Samuel L. Jackson, you know, undercover in another movie, and, like, you know, they've done that so well. I mean, and so we know eventually that that's going to come. It might not be this year, it might not be next year.
But it'll be soon.
It'll be soon, and they'll keep sprinkling these characters there. Because, honest to God, if they give up Wyatt Russell to something else, if they have not signed that man,
yeah,
it's a loss. That's a mistake.
It's an absolute loss.
Because I don't know what it is, because at first I was like, I can't believe you're fucking Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell's fucking son.
Well, yeah. Remember, at the very beginning, I remember, like, pretty much all of us in the room did not like Wyatt Russell's portrayal at first as Walker.
No, but the fact is, it's so weird sometimes when he's talking, I'm like, Kurt Russell's there.
I know,
like, you can see it. Yeah,
well, it sounds just like him.
Yeah, it's crazy too. Like, there's it's funny you say that, because there's been movies I in Overlord and a couple other movies, I'm like, damn, that's like
his dad.
It's like, goddamn, it's a fucking, you know, it's like a mirage, you know. It's honestly like watching what's Clint Eastwood's son name, what's his name? Fuck. He's the same thing.
Yeah.
Same fucking thing. Like, there's a couple times you watch him, he does that kind of squinty eye Clint Eastwood thing. And you're like,
and then all of a sudden it's his
dad.
Like,
what? Holy fuck. Okay. But that's the same thing with Wyatt Russell. It's like, oh yeah, Kurt Russell's your dad.
Well, it's
like,
so hilarious, because ever since this series, you look at Wyatt Russell and now everyone's like talking, oh, he should take up the mantle of Snake Plissken. He should be in Big Trouble, Little China.
Dude, stop. You're going to make me fucking get excited about things that'll never happen. And
okay? Like, one, don't do that to me. Don't, like, make me dress up. Like,
have you seen the pictures though? Have you seen the,
no.
So many people have been posting pictures of, like, Wyatt Russell as Snake Plissken. Why not? It's his dad.
That's the internet for you. But the fact is that they gave this redemption story, and like Ryan said, that it sheds a lot of light on veterans. They also did that with Bradley, with Isaiah.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you see that these unknown war heroes or people that have been through some shit like he had and been arrested and done bad by his government – you know, are looking for a redemption story. And we were wondering how that was going to play out.
Oh, yeah. Remember, Bobby, we were like, in the last episode, I mean, a lot of fans of the series Red, White, and Black wanted that moment of at least Isaiah's acknowledgement from Cap, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't exactly get that.
We got
something cool. And honestly, I think it was something much better and more meaningful.
And what I think that does is what's his son or the kid? Isn't he supposed to be somebody?
Yeah, he's supposed to be the Patriot.
Okay.
Young Avengers.
And so I think that's what we're getting, that opens that door for that character to come into this universe, is because, you know, you see here that this Captain America is going to do anything he can to try to help out these people. Mm-hmm. And the first one he started with was Isaiah Bradley.
Yep.
And for him to have that moment of that statue and, you know, to walk through and, you know, not knowing what was going on, and that to see his name and his light just in the same museum as Captain America, I think was the ultimate redemption story for him. And I think that's a lot of what this
show. It's a lot of redemption.
show is based around is redemption.
Redemption.
And yeah. bringing these people to light and making them believe that they are better than who they are. Whether it was Falcon believing that and Sam believing that he could be Captain America, where Bucky, you know, his whole fucking going through the list and marking everybody off and proving that he is better than, you know, his past transgressions. And, the, you know, Isaiah and US Agent.
Yep.
So, there were so many like deep storylines into here. And then, you know, we get into the Flag Smashers overall. And, you know, we find out that, you know, the what their plan is, and which leads to some of the most killer like action scenes that we've seen.
Oh, yeah. Dude, so good.
But, you know, the fights and using the armored cars and construction and everything that was going on, like Ryan mentioned earlier, Sam coming in and watching Sam fight like Falcon, but with a shield.
Yeah.
Dude, like, so cool.
He did not turn into a Captain America clone, only like U.S. Agent was.
And the thing I appreciated about that is like, even in the end, Sam makes the comment that he's not a super soldier.
Yeah.
He fights with that shield still, but he doesn't have the superpower. So what does he do? He fights like Falcon would, but he still carries on the mantle of Captain America, yeah. which is freaking amazing that they pulled it off like that, because the fight scenes in the end were so visceral and believable.
Yep. The way he moved, he moved, you know, like you would if you had wings, but he had a weapon now. I use that quote, you know, that weapon term very lightly, but it's just, it was, like you said, it was, David, it was very believable.
Believable.
You know, because when you watched Cap fight, it was just basically brute force with some fighting moves running, because he's got the shield. He's a super soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can take a hit.
With Sam, he has to fight strategically. And that you saw that when he was in the flight with the helicopter.
Yeah,
because in all reality, he's at a disadvantage here. You know, he can fly, sure, and chase the helicopter around. But let's be frank. Like, if Iron Man were chasing the helicopter around, he would have just repulsor blasted the dude out of there, and it was done. Sam had to strategically do it, and I thought the way that they did that was really, really cool. And I love the way he used the shield and his wings together in certain spots, like when he saved the people on the bridge.
Yeah,
like he landed, used the shield and the wings to stop the helicopter from hitting him. It was such a really, really fucking cool way of fighting for someone who has no fucking powers.
Oh yeah, my favorite moment fight wise for Sam was when he fought Carly, and all of a sudden he used the wings to kind of dig in.
Oh
to
yeah,
give him that extra defense.
Man.
And I'm like, cool. That's actually smart. That shows that Sam has learned. He's not only using Captain America's techniques, he's using his own techniques that he developed as Falcon.
The fight with Batroc was great too. It was a good fight, man. Like, it, we've seen Batroc how many times now? Four times. And he used completely different set of moves than the last time. Like,
yes.
That's what was cool about it. The shield has now become exactly what it's supposed to be, right? It's an extension of the person that wields it.
It was weird because, okay, we get the shield is an extension of who Captain America is, but we also see upgraded tech in the Falcon suit that almost turned him into like a quasi Iron Man.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Because when he's trying to stop the armored car from falling, and then like he's letting out, you know, whatever part of the Red Bird is out there, and it hooks onto the other sides of the truck, and all the repulsor blasts or whatever we want to call them are trying to push that truck up. Like, it's almost like weird Iron Man moment, or like Spider-Man, you know, gets a lot of his stuff from the Stark technology.
And you guys realize that this type of technology is the first time we've ever seen it in this type of scale of a series. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only time we've ever seen technology like this is, you've already alluded to two of the characters, Bobby, Iron Man, which is a given, Spider-Man from Homecoming, you know, with all the drones and all the, you know, gadgets that he had in the Iron Spider-Man suit. But also what made it believable was the case came from Wakanda. And like, I'm like, going, that's Wakandan technology. Yes, that I believe that. I believe, because like, if you look at Black Panther's suit and all the technology that Shuri used, yeah, this actually makes sense that it would happen.
And it reflects back earlier to the fight scene where, like, they don't even got superpowers, you know? And so, you know, there's a lot of that thing. And so, man, what I want to see is what kind of wire work they did.
Actually, on that, Bobby, I am so happy that the wire work here was so well done up to this point, because I remember we all were in agreement. Second episode
with the truck.
The truck was strange.
I follow one of the actresses that was a stunt double on that truck, and that truck was only 2 foot off the ground.
Was it really?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
They built it and green screened everything behind it. And but you're right, that whole long shot.
That whole long shot.
The long shot was goofy.
And then you get to hear, and it's almost like they mastered what they understood what their series has to be.
But it was also done in the dark.
And that's helped.
Yeah, yes. And that always helps. But I just want to see what the wire rigs and everything that look like for them to make all those motions, or, you know, how much of this was computer generated versus an actual man in a harness.
Well, I think we talk about it too. Like the darkness plays a huge role. We've talked about this in all the shows that we cover. When you're doing big, you know, Hollywood budget, you know, $25 million movies, even doing stuff during the day makes some things just not look right.
Yeah.
And I think picking this episode to be at night helped a lot of the shots and helped a lot of the things that normally would be unbelievable be believable. And I think, you know, just the fight, nighttime fight scenes, and then, like, for example, the one truck catching on fire, it just adds that ambiance of, like,
lighting.
Yeah, it's a lighting thing. Yeah, for sure. And I think with this episode, we got some really great lighting on some specific shots. You know, for example, like when you finally at the NC Wyatt Russell in the U.S. agent costume, and the light is shining in from the, like, it looks like he's lit up.
He's lit up.
And I was like, okay, that's cool. But I feel like we talk about this a lot, Bob, when we talk about, you know, when to do these CG shots and when to not do these CG shots. Obviously, Marvel has a much larger budget for a TV show than some of the shows we used to cover. But doing these shots at night makes them more believable and makes them come over as like, okay, I can hide some shit in, you know, in this shot. And I'm not saying they're hiding stuff, but I just definitely think these shots would have looked way weirder during the day.
But even in the choice of location was actually smart too, because, like, yes, shooting at night is fine, but when you actually choose the proper location, like an underground garage, right? Especially, or even an underground building where the final fight scene happened, where it was kind of like a, I don't know what you would call it, but basically like a basement of a,
right,
of a
yeah, building, like, right? A boiler room.
And like choosing something like that has low level light, that is like something that I wish a lot of people would understand more about. How do you want to make your fight scene really look good? Do not blow it out with a bunch of lights. Don't try to actually put it in bright daytime, because you're not going to be, it's going to be much more difficult to hide the tricks that you have to do in a fight scene.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think, and that's, again, that goes with the director and, you know, the person, the cinematographer, looking at it and going, okay, how do we, you know, how do we do this?
How do we do these shots?
And I thought this episode was just, it was gorgeous, dude. Like everything that they did was, it was just so good.
Yeah, it was intelligently chosen.
Yeah.
Because, like, even, like, the Batroc scene that you guys alluded to, even though they were very well lit, the choice of actually using, like, a different colored light where it was, like, all red.
Yeah.
Right? It actually added atmosphere to the fight scene, but it also allowed them to actually do a little bit more things more creatively that would not make the fight look cheesy. You know, it's almost like when I saw that fight scene, I paralleled it to the initial fight scene we saw Batroc and Cap in the very beginning in Winter Soldier. Yep. And when you compare the two, it's amazing that basically as a parallel, it's amazing that that's how Cap fights. And now they were able to use this and show, hey, this is how our Captain America fights. And being able to finally start separating Sam from the shadow of of Steve, because you're seeing different parallels of like how they fight, how they act, how they talk.
Yep.
So now we're going to debate this.
Oh boy.
We saw Agent 13.
Here we go.
Okay.
Do all some right. things this week.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I talk so much about these shows with people. I don't remember if we talked about it on the air or I talked about it off that, you know, Agent 13 was going to end up being the power broker.
You said it on air.
Okay.
Yes, you did.
I just want to make sure.
Said that. No, you fucking 100% called it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Like, again, it's weird when I become consumed with things. It's just like I want to talk about it with people and, you know, I talk about it with my boss. I talk about it with Steve from the network. And I'm just like, dude, I don't remember what I say on air when I don't.
You 100% called it.
Okay. So now a lot of the complaints and I'm going to let me segue into this real quick.
Okay.
Let me be professional.
Professional.
Ugh. Oh,
so Rotten Tomatoes. This week's episode got a 65%.
How? Okay. Who in their right mind?
Now, a lot of it had to do with that you read through certain things on the webs, and it's, you know, again, the narrative of the shit that people don't, the reality situation. Then there was like the Flag Smashers were the worst villains ever arguments. That there was no big bad in this. Now, in my opinion, Sharon is bad. And if you didn't see that, she was the one pulling the strings. And legitimately, that is the reality of the situation in the world.
Yes.
That we have these groups that are out there, again, that want to do the right things. Flag Smashers, you know, had the best intentions.
Yep.
And somebody like the power broker gets in there and starts manipulating just a little bit here and there. And then, you know, she outs herself. And if she was doing nothing wrong, why would she kill the two people she outed herself to? She is the villain. She is going to be the villain for the fourth movie. She got her pardon. If you guys didn't watch the after credits.
Yep. Yeah, she did.
She got her pardon
and
her job back.
And to walk out and basically say, you know, we're going to have access to all kinds of crazy tech and weapons.
I don't need super soldier serum anymore. I got weapons. I got designs. I got all kinds of shit. What you need? It's a homeboy shopping network over here.
I think you're right. 100%. I think we knew going into this episode that the big bad, air quotes, was going to be someone behind the scenes. And they've alluded to power broker the whole time.
And the Marvel technique is to always make sure that person is in front of you.
Yes.
Yes.
The whole time.
Yep.
It isn't going to be Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin, as we joked. You know, walking out with his big shoulder pads and his fucking walking cane.
Makes me laugh every time.
You know, it's not going to be a Patch. It's not going to be, you know, somebody that we don't know. It's going to be somebody that's in front of you all the time. That technically, if you look back and you think, you know, what's the phrase about a woman being scorned? You know, don't fuck with her, basically.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'd be a little angry if something happened and I spent 5 years of my life on the fucking run and nobody did anything to help me.
With nothing.
And then built myself into somebody not to fuck with. That I was able to pull all these strings together and do all these wonderful things.
Well, especially since you throw Sharon's story into it, she started as the clear-cut, good S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. You know, she followed Captain America.
Dude, she was the fucking to a T. Yeah.
She was the, you know, good cop. She was a good cop.
She was almost to that point of annoyingly good.
Yes.
Yeah. Like to the T, like, oh my God, do you need to follow subsection A of the book of, you know, like, Jesus.
Did you check that gun out?
Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. And but here's, look, obviously being shunned by your country and being tossed away for years, will turn anybody to
not just your country and your
the Avengers.
Pretty much your friends. All her friends, her allies. She even made a remember in the past episodes. She blamed Falcon and Winter Soldier. This I got screwed over by you guys after everything.
Yep.
And she even in her dialogue, you get the sense that she was pissed off at Steve, which is a big surprise, but. It would be interesting to see more background story on that in regards to her story arc is like, does she really blame Steve Rogers? Mm-hmm. Is she really? Now, here's the thing, Bobby, I will say this. Mm-hmm. I agree with you to a lot of extent, but can we classify her as really a big bad, though?
Because I think anybody with that kind of power to me is the big bad of the series. I mean, if we can call Agatha a big bad and in WandaVision, we have to be able to call the power broker the big bad here because she is the one kind of slowly pulling all these little strings here and there, you know, because people want the super soldier serum. They want this. They want that.
But the problem with this series is like it's gone out of its way to show you that there's no clear-cut good guy and there's no clear-cut
it's all gray
guy.
Area
it's all gray area.
See, I don't think with her I would call this gray area because greed is the ultimate evil and she wasn't doing this to spite anybody. She was doing this for fucking money and
just making that Skrilla,
right? Like that's what she was doing and that is always that's fucking Villain 101. Why do people do things? Lex was making land because he could sell land because it would make him money. Like, there's storylines that are always about the greed.
It's always like, the crazy, like, maniacal big bads that just do it because they want to murder people. Like, the real villains are the people that are like, you know what, man? I'm trying to make some fucking bank here. Like, and that's her. Like, she is that villain where it's like, yo, I'm trying to make that fucking money. Whereas Thanos was like, well, I'm just trying to cleanse the fucking universe. Okay? Like, okay, I don't care about money. I'm just trying to kill half the people in the universe. Okay. Like, so when you think about it and you think about the villains that we've had, like Ultron, I'm trying to kill people because people fucking suck. Like, at the end of the day, like, you think about the big bads that we've had. Loki, I want to take over because fucking power is awesome. You know, like, there's certain bads that are, you know, there for power. To kill people because they're fucking crazy. Who knows if they're a fucking head case.
Because I think what the thing was in the past episodes we've discussed about this is kind of like in all of Marvel universe, all MCU history, the only clear cut villain, like clear cut 100%, there's no redeeming quality of him, is the Red Skull.
Yep.
But like everybody else, there's almost like this. I understand their methods. I understand their reason why they do it. And I don't know. It takes away from the title of a big bad. Because if you start sympathizing with the bad guy, does that really make him a bad guy? It's like Zemo. We know Zemo's a bad dude. But after this series, come on. Everyone would probably... everyone under the sun, basically, I saw all like... post saying that I understand Zemo Zemo's angry now.
And Zemo's still pulling the strings from inside jail with his butler killing the rest of them, and there's no fucking Asian Wolverine now for Ryan.
Remember, Bobby. The probably what they're gonna do is they're gonna have Asian Wolverine step out of the flames.
He's gonna slice open the car and walk out.
Yeah, and then he's gonna pick up a cigar and put it to the flame.
I hate both of you.
But the fact is when you look at Agent 13's like track record here of what she's been doing since the blip, again, it was for her to survive because she was, you know, again, put off by her country.
Yeah.
Put off by the Avengers. So she has the motivation to not give a fuck. Yep. And those are always the scariest big bads. And, you know, she gets her job back. And the first thing she did is get on her fucking phone and says, yeah, we don't have the serum anymore, but
now we got this.
We got everything else, which means that I don't know if there's a redemption path for her. You know, a lot of these other people that we've been talking about, you see that there's something, there's a redeeming quality in her. You know, she played out this game. She put herself at risk. She did all this, not necessarily because she was trying to help Bucky and Sam, because she was afraid that she was going to be exposed by Bucky and Sam.
Yeah. Like, not for good reasons, no, because she was.
It's a safety thing. It's like the preemptive, like, hey, Ryan, I got to tell you something before you find out from somebody else that I did something fucked up, you know, type of scenario. And that's what she was doing. She ain't hanging around because we old friends. She hanging around because, shit, we old friends, and they're looking for something that I'm after, and I don't really need them to fuck me over on this. And again, with her outing herself and then instantly killing Carly,
and Batrack.
And Batrack. Like, bam, bam, just fucking, oh, you're the die. Blah, yeah,
you gotta off those loose strings.
Well,
dude.
Especially her line when she looks at Batrack and says, I don't take well to blackmail, and then just guns him down. Just
murders the dude.
Like, how do you not call that evil? to me, like, what is the scariest thing about Kingpin?
He's fat.
It's not his size. Dumbass. It's not his size or his giant fucking shoulder pads. It's the fact that that man has power.
And he doesn't care.
And he doesn't care. Lex Luthor, what is so important about him? Power. Does not care. You know, that is what she is to me. Again, my opinion only. That's what she is. She has the power. She has the resources, and she's been fucked over by everything. So she doesn't care. And now she got her fucking power back. Maybe that was the whole plan the whole time, when she's like, hey, you know, I was not like pardoned like everybody else. Why don't you help me out? And Sam's like, I got you, girl. And then magically she's like, yo, brother's gonna hook me up. Yep. I mean, again, I don't know why 65% for this last episode. I don't know why the backlash of the Flag Smashers are the worst villains ever. Like, I don't understand why people think this way. It almost goes back to the ending of WandaVision. People were so disappointed because they didn't get what they wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
This isn't about what you guys want. It's not about what I want. Mm-hmm. It's about finishing a fucking story from A to Z. Fold that bitch up and let's move on. Yep. Because that's all we're getting here. That's all these fucking television shows are going to be. Now, Loki in June, I have no fucking clue what that's going to do, because I didn't know what this was going to do, and I didn't know WandaVision was going to do. So, people are going to be disappointed at the end of June when I'm on this fucking microphone doing the same fucking stitch.
No, Bobby, I am telling you this right now. How much do you want to bet as soon as you start up Loki, the first rumor? X-Men.
Oh, X-Men. Stop. God, I hate you guys.
It's going to be the X-Men again.
Loki's going to go find Wolverine.
God, I hate you.
Totally going to find Wolverine.
We're going to find Wolverine.
I hate both of you so much. Dude,
Ryan, seriously?
I know. I just don't want to fucking hear it, okay? I know.
X-Men are going to be in Loki.
No. They'll come up with some weird rumor, and I want you to timestamp this, Bobby, because if this happens,
Jesus Christ, we need to see.
They're going to come up with some weird thing about, like, the Phoenix Force showing up in Loki somehow.
Loki is going to go through the Phoenix Force.
Exactly. I swear to God.
Loki's Dark Phoenix.
And that's how people will actually start get the rumor and try to put the pieces together for the X-Men.
Loki's going to transform into Wolverine and walk through fucking Xavier's school for the gifted. That's what's going to happen. That's how we're going to get them.
So
Hugh Jackman's coming back as Wolverine.
I'm losing fucking brain cells, dude. You're hurting me. Please stop.
But that
I'd only have so many left, dude. You're killing them all.
I guarantee it.
But you're gonna know it's Loki series. Because he's gonna get out of his wheelchair when he's Professor X.
Oh my god, I hate you so much. The funny thing is he's probably right.
Like
the internet is gonna blow up, dude. It's gonna be just the dumbest thing ever, dude. I look, if we are all sitting here for Loki, okay, like I think the thing that I like about these shows is that I can go into these shows with absolutely no expectation on what the story is going to be. And so far, out of the two shows that we've gotten, I've been pleasantly surprised in an absolute great way.
Yeah.
And I think going forward, the shows that we are getting are giving us a great platform to get started into phase four. And I think that's what I'm more important for me is that we're setting up phase four where I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I didn't give a fuck about phase four before these shows started. I couldn't care less.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
you're not
alone. Like,
you're
but
not
alone. Now
Shang Tsung and his 12 rings.
Yeah. Shang Tsung, you know, your soul is mine.
And his cock rings.
And his 10 cock rings. That's a big dick, by the way. If he's got 10 cock rings. Holy shit. That's not a real Asian dick then.
It's like the Indians expanding their neck.
Yeah, exactly. Probably it just makes Asian. His jig bigger.
Yeah. But he takes it off and it's just like floppy.
I was not excited for phase four at all. And now that we've gotten these two shows, I'm like, man, okay, I'm looking forward to the new movies. Yeah. Cause these have set up a lot of stuff. And I think that
unfortunately, this movie is not in phase four. Is Captain America 4 in phase four?
I think it's phase five.
Okay.
Probably phase five. But even still, like it makes me excited to see what we have coming because there's a lot of potential. And I think that's what I'm excited for. I mean, look, Loki is a cool character, but he's never been one of my favorite characters. So, like, I'm going into this show going, all right, cool. Tom Hiddleston's awesome. Love the guy. He's great as a character, but I really don't care about him. So I'm going in with no expectations, which I'm sure it'll be great. And cool. Now we're going to set up, what, the next Thor movie probably?
Yeah. And I think that's what is one of the biggest takeaways, too, is, like, from here on out, I think everyone needs to go into these series with zero expectations. You can't be constantly looking, when are they going to bring in this character? When are they going to be bringing this character? Focus on the characters that are right, just like what you alluded to, Bobby, right in front of you. You have great characters in front of you. Marvel is deciding to use them. Like, I look at WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier now kind of like in the same way how we got the very first Iron Man film and then Captain America. Two movies that were totally separate, but they established the phase that they're in. This is how they establish this phase, the current phase four. And honestly, this reminds me of that time in the very beginning of Marvel when Marvel was, no one had expectations for any of the movies. No one was like thinking like, when are this character coming out? I want this character. No.
Yeah.
But we got great movies out of it. And then now when you look at it now, we got two really A-list series that pretty much everyone is in agreement. We didn't think that they'd be this good. Like, just like what you said, Ryan, I mean, the very beginning when Phase 4 got first introduced, not many people were like going, oh, it's a Scarlet Witch and the Vision. Okay.
Exactly.
You're going to do that. Where's Cap? Where's Iron Man? Where's Spider-Man? You know, no, they want to establish a new era of Marvel. And this is, honestly, this is how it's done.
Yeah. I just think these shows, and especially this show, like Bob said, was six episodes of Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan earning their place in Captain America 4. And now, when Captain America 4 comes out in whatever fucking phase it comes out in, I really don't give a shit, because I'll be the first one in the theater to watch it, because...
Yeah.
They'll probably put it where Black Panther 2 is on the fucking list at this point.
Yeah, that's probably true. I just feel like...
Because that's 2022 and they haven't fucking cast anybody.
This movie or this show and all these shows, that's what they're for. They're to get you hyped and excited and say, okay, cool. I'm excited for the next iteration of this character. And that's what this entire show did, especially with this episode. Because seeing Sam and seeing Bucky and even the scene, honestly, dude... Even the scene where they're at the party grill out, whatever, was fucking awesome. Like,
yeah.
Like Bucky standing there with the arm holding the kids up like in the air, and like just it was neat. You can believe them as a team now.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's what this was for. So as weird as some of the shows are, as some of the ones that I'm just, this was the one I was more excited about. WandaVision was kind of like, okay, cool. And it happened to be fucking great. This was the one I was excited for, and I got exactly what we needed.
Yes.
So as far as these shows go, I think that's exactly what's going to happen with Loki. I'm kind of whatever, and it's probably going to be great, and it's going to be exactly what we need.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no worries, but we will see when Loki comes, but as far as this show goes, I think we've talked it to death.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a break, and then we'll give our final thoughts when we come back.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her, ooh, and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
All right, we are back. Remember, wherever you found us, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, rate, review, subscribe, because we're going to continue to put out Marvel and RMD shows. Loki's next. You know, we have WandaVision, we have Falcon, we do all kinds of stuff. Go find us. Do all those things for us. It helps us out a ton. Now, we are getting to that time to where we have to give our final thoughts on the finale, which will probably be the finale for the series, because they won't do a season two, because that's what they keep saying, that there will be no season twos unless it actually fits into a story. We're not going to force feed a bunch of bullshit, which is wonderful. David, I'm going to let you go first.
Just for this episode, I'm starting off with my score. It's a 98. It's a really great episode. I mean, like, you have a really great bookend to the story of Sam and Bucky. And I love the fact that basically at the very end, they changed the title from Falcon and Winter Soldier to Captain America and the Winter Soldier. And that's what this story was all about. It's about Sam accepting the new mantle as Cap.
Yep.
And there was, I'm so happy that they didn't get caught up with a lot of the fan stuff about, like, oh, they got a hint at this. Oh, we need this villain. We need this. No, focus on your narrative. Give us some really great storytelling, that not to say that basically, hey, you can't allude to a bigger Marvel universe, but stick to the narrative that sticks to your main characters. It has to deal with how does this affect Sam and how does this affect Bucky? And every single story arc, every single character has affected those two characters throughout the entire thing, down to Isaiah Bradley. Bringing in a character like that was just brilliant. And I know when I thought about this series afterwards, I was like going, I got the same feels of the very beginning of the MCU when we first saw the movie of Iron Man and Captain America. I now look at WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier like that, how great that moment was. And we're getting the same thing, only it's not in the theater. Okay, it's in a streaming service, but this is how Disney Marvel has decided this is what format that they gotta go through right now. So honestly, if I were to compare the two series, this is my favorite series of the two. I loved Falcon and Winter Soldier. I came into this with high expectations. In the very beginning, I told you guys that this was the series that I was highly, highly anticipating, because I wanted to see these two characters and see where they take them. And I am so thrilled. I'm not kidding. Just like what you said, Ryan, when Falcon comes through that window and we finally get to see him in his comic accurate costume, that gave me goosebumps. That honestly made me just get out of my seat. And I'm like staring at it going, this is freaking awesome. It doesn't look bad. It looks absolutely awesome. It's probably one of the best costumes I've ever seen in all of MCU. So episode is a 98. If I had to give the whole series a grade, it's a 99.
Wow.
I mean, the only blemish on the entire series was episode 2. And the blemish of episode 2 is just like very questionable lighting choices and choreography. Okay. It's not a series killer by any means. No. So I would, that's why when you said like the score, Bobby, that the people are giving it, they're going, are you kidding me?
I think it bookend the series real well.
Yeah.
Ryan.
I'm going to give this a 97. So for me, I felt that this episode was exactly what we needed after 5 episodes of this show. We got the full-blown redemption for John Walker, which was probably one of the most complex characters in the MCU so far, besides like the Winter Soldier. We got to see probably, in my opinion, one of the coolest fucking shots of Sam flying through the glass, using the shield in his brand spanking new Captain America costume, which, like David said, they basically ripped right out of the fucking comic book. I mean, it couldn't be any more accurate than the fucking one from the comic book. I absolutely disagree with, you know, the Flag Smashers being the worst villain of all time. Those people can eat a dick, because the Flag Smashers are a necessary evil. And what I mean by that is that they're a great villain because they believe that they're doing what is right. And I'm sorry, but any good villain makes you question, are they a villain? And I don't even think villain is the right word. I mean, even Sam says it at the end of the episode. These people defied the biggest governments in the world because they believed in their cause. For me, I think his speech might be one of the best speeches in all of the MCU. It hit the nail on the head on so many different things. And I had fucking straight up goosebumps watching him stand there as Captain America and basically say, you know, you do think I don't know what it's like? I'm a black man as Captain America. Yeah. I'm sorry, but that whole entire thing was amazing. So it was an absolute 97 for me. A great episode. Exactly. It was a fucking cherry on top of a sundae that I would eat over and over and over again. And as far as the series goes, because I know David gave a series, I would say, yeah, 98. There's some weird choices and a couple shots that were just really super weird, but overall we got exactly what we needed for everyone to believe Anthony Mackie as Captain America and Sebastian Stan as a Winter Soldier taking their own movie. So I think it's a win-win for Marvel with this one. So,
all right, I'm gonna give it a 94 for the finale. Again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It did what it needed to do. It finished the story. People complaining about it probably just didn't understand, or again had some expectation that it was out there that was unrealistic, or they're racist.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to fucking lie. Because they're not comfortable with Anthony Mackie. And I could be grasping at straws, but the fact was that you have two A-list actors that proved why they're A-list actors. That I believed in Anthony Mackie before. I didn't believe in Sebastian Stan.
Yeah, and you were pretty vocal about that. I mean, you expressed that.
I've always said that. It's not a fucking secret. But the fact is that you told all these stories, whether it is a group that had all the greatest intentions in the world, radicalized. a black man trying to make it in a white man's world.
Yep.
A black man who had the government do experiments on him and was left for dead in a fucking prison. That is honestly reality. Go look up things. Like, I think it was the 50s or 60s, like, they said they were going to help black people with syphilis or something like that.
Yeah, and they injected them with syphilis.
Yes. That is reality of the situation. And I said it before. It's why people don't want to get vaccinated that are fucking Mexican or Hispanic and black, because they've been experimented on before. Again, people probably don't like it because it's too close to reality.
Reality sucks. It's the truth. And the truth, like, the truth scares people.
Yeah. And so you had a woman scorned by her country that ends up being the big bad. A soldier that's obviously suffering from some mental things that was pushed aside by his country. I mean, those are serious fucking topics.
Absolutely.
And again, maybe people just don't want that from their superheroes. That's perfectly fine. But I do. I want stories that are compelling. I want stories that make me think. I watch so many documentaries just because I want to learn. I loved Watchmen. Why? Because it taught me a lot of things.
Oh, heck yeah.
And, you know, that television show is basically on the same par as this television show.
Oh, easily.
You look in the details and you find out that there's reality. And reality scares people. You know, again, our history books are whitewashed. So people don't actually know that these things actually happen.
They exist.
So this show did it. And it did it in such a smart, non-soapbox way. And I appreciate that. So I'm going to give it a 95 overall as a series. Again, nothing wrong. I even though I went 2 points lower, it's still fucking 50 points higher than most shit I give. So,
yeah. Good. I mean, this might be the highest shit you've ever fucking.
Watchmen was overall. But,
oh, really?
Yeah. Because that show is damn near perfect. But that'll give us an average of a 96.
Oof.
For the finale.
Scorching.
And a 97 for the series. That's amazing. That was done by Disney. That is the most amazing thing about it.
Yep.
Yes. Absolutely.
Where Disney is all about feel good, bury anything that's scary, and we'll move on. I think that was the most surprising thing about all this for me, is that they were willing to tackle radicalized social groups. They were ready to tackle how black people are treated in this world. And they didn't do it with the Mickey Mouse ears.
Yeah. They're just raising that bar higher and higher.
Yeah. And I think that was the most impressive thing about this, is that they did this in the Malcolm Spellman and Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan and everybody else that worked on this show was able to pull that off. And so this is, for me, definitely rewatchable. A lot more than WandaVision was. Because WandaVision was a lot about, like, what's next?
Yeah, it's all about the mystery.
Yeah, and now the mystery for WandaVision's over. I really don't have to watch that again.
Yep.
But Falcon Winter Soldier, definitely rewatchable.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So we will see what happens. This is our last episode. Thank you for everybody out there that has found us through the journey of this show, whether you caught on at the beginning with us in WandaVision or you've come lately. Thank you. We appreciate you guys. If you guys want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/Rain Man Digital. We have different tiers out there and you could hear so much more from them. You can see what my ugly face looks like on our video tier if you want.
It's really ugly, guys.
I'm hideous.
So am I, though.
So hideous, you'll probably drop your panties for me. If you wear them.
I don't wear any panties. So.
Because Ryan's been around me long enough.
Yeah, yeah.
He's lost them all.
They're all gone now.
Anyway, but thank you, guys. We appreciate each and every one of you. We will be back in June with Loki. I believe I will be here with Lauren and Paul. I've called dibs on that one already. So we'll keep rotating in through new groups of people. Again, RaymanDigitalMedia.com for all our shows. We do. And I think that's it. Thank you. Bye.